Let's all pray together. O God, our gracious and merciful and loving Heavenly Father, we have come before Thee this morning, Father, we come before Thy holy presence. We come to be under Thy feet on such a holy day, a day Thou hast commanded that we should keep as holy. O Heavenly Father, as we come in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not on our own, for we have no merit to come before Thee. But Father, we come trusting in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whom You sent into this world to redeem us from the power of sin and Satan and to reconcile us to You. Father, in His name we have come. We have come to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And therefore, Father, we pray that Thou will come and be with us and bless everything we do today. Our prayers, our Bible reading, our singing, our preaching, Father, let everything be done to the glory of Thy name. So, Father, come and dwell among us. Come and be with us. Come and direct us. And let us do everything to the glory of Thy name and a blessing unto ourselves. We thank You, Father, for hearing us, for we have come praying in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
Now to our first hymn, we turn to hymn number 203. Hymn number 203. Thou art the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son, God manifestly seen and heard, and heaven beloved one. Hymn number 203.
Thank you.
now turn in our Bibles for our first Bible reading, and we turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, and I'm beginning from verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat me up, to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou said, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path, because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are raising up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We thank the Lord for his word. Let's turn to hymn number 27, the hymn rendering of the psalm we just read. Hymn number 27. The Lord, my Savior, is my light. What power against my soul shall fight? Hymn number 27.
Thank you.
Our second Bible reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and I'm beginning from verse 1. And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again, and as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, What did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then, that they are no more twain, that is two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And in the house his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he said unto them, Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committed adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committed adultery. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked them that brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100 now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we will that thou shalt do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What will ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with her shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And he called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. We thank the Lord for his word.
We give a sincere and warm welcome to all who are worshiping with us this morning. This is Grace Reformed Baptist Church, Accra, and this is our evangelistic service. To our first-time visitors, we suggest that you don't leave at once after the service, as you would like to know you more. We also suggest that everyone waits for a few moments after the service for personal prayer before you leave. These are our services and times for the week. Sunday morning evangelistic service from 10 to 11:30. Sunday afternoon Sunday school session is from 3 to 4:30. Sunday evening teaching service is from 6 to 7:30. Our prayer meetings are held on Tuesdays from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And our Bible studies are held on Wednesdays from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Our pastor, Anthony Bentumenin, is currently in Cape Coast preaching at Grace Reformed Baptist Church, our sister church. The preacher for this evening's teaching service is Brother Augustine Usuado. It's now time for our offerings for the Lord's work. Thank you.
is let's pray together. Oh God, our gracious and merciful Father, we thank you for this opportunity to bring before thee these our offerings. And Father, we pray for your blessing upon them, that it will be used for the furtherance of thy kingdom work. Our Heavenly Father, we continue to praise and glorify thy name. O God, thou art the holy, holy, holy God. Thou art the three in one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, besides you, there's no other God. We praise you for your mightiness, for thou art the God of infinite majesty and of power. Thou art sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords. Thou art the omniscient and the omnipotent and the omnipresent God. O Heavenly Father, thou art the God of our forefathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we praise and glorify thy name for all these your attributes and thy being, and for thy mercy, and for thy grace, and for thy love, the love which made you send your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to come into this world of evil, that a holy man like him should come and dwell among us, and to go through all the sufferings and the persecutions and all the troubles, the tribulations. He did all these things on our behalf, that our sins will be forgiven us, and he cleansed us from our sins with his precious blood, and to reconcile us unto you. O Heavenly Father, we praise you and glorify thy name once again. We pray for your kingdom to be established and be blessed under the leadership of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we come before thee to confess our sins before thee. Father, we know who we are, born in sin and lived in sin, spent all our lives in sin. We only pray that thou will cleanse us afresh from our sins as we come before thee. Prepare our hearts and our minds that we can worship thee in spirit and in truth. Father, we come on such a day thou hast commanded, that we should keep it as holy. O Heavenly Father, it is our prayer that as we come before thee, thou will cleanse us afresh, pardon and forgive us of our sins afresh, and enable us to worship thee and to spend the day as thou hast commanded, that we will receive the blessings that thou hast promised for us. Our Heavenly Father, we come to commit our church into your hands. We pray both for the universal church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, comprising of all the saved, those who have been regenerated, wherever they may be, and then our local church here. Oh Father, we commit our church into your hands for your guidance, for your protection, and for your direction. Father, we pray that thou will enable us the grace to lead lives that befit Christians. Father, we pray that today being a day that thou hast ordered that we should preach the gospel, that thou will come and dwell among us, and even to all who are preaching today, especially those who are preaching the true gospel of thy redeeming grace, that the word that goes forth today will save many lost souls. For thou hast said that thy word does not go and come back in vain. Our Heavenly Father, we are trusting in thy word, and we pray that thou will come and dwell among us, that will come and prepare our hearts, that your word will be fruitful in the hearts of even those who will listen to it here, and those who will listen later on the internet. Our Heavenly Father, we bring before thee all our ministries. We thank you especially for the gospel ministry. We pray for the progress of this ministry, for it is the only means that has appointed, that has sinful men, our hearts can be changed, to be regenerated, and to be given new hearts. Our Heavenly Father, we also bring before thee our children ministry. Oh Father, whilst we are thanking you for this ministry, for the number of children that has given us, the teachers and the helpers, the resources, the logistics that has given us, Father, we pray that this ministry will also progress, that these children, even in their tender ages, will come to understand the gospel of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone. Our Heavenly Father, we commit our weeknight meeting into your hands. Thank you for the children who come, the teachers who teach, and especially the subject of prayer. Oh, Father, bless this ministry. that as these children continue to come, they will come to understand the need for fervent and effective prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we also bring before Thee our teaching services. We thank You that we can meet here every Sunday evening and Wednesday evenings to study Thy Word. Oh, Father, we know that Thy Word is the power. Without it, we perish. So, Heavenly Father, bless this ministry that as we come week by week, Father, we will grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we can defend the gospel, our reason of believing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we continue to live in this world and waiting until He returns. Our Heavenly Father, we also commit our prayer meeting into Your hands. Father, we thank You that we can meet week by week to pour our hearts unto You. Oh, Father, bless us in this ministry, which is the power of the church, that we continue to meet week by week and enable every one of us to pray effectively and fervently as possible. Our Heavenly Father, we commit our forthcoming conference in Cape Coast into Your hands. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we pray for the speakers and the organizers, everyone who is playing a part to let this conference come on. Father, bless their efforts, provide all our needs, and when that day comes, oh Father, bless it that people who will be traveling from far and near will have travel mercies, and the messages that will inspire us, and those that are not saved will be saved, and the saved will be edified. Oh Heavenly Father, we commit every member of this church into Your home. Even those who have been coming, who have been visiting casually, Father, we bring all of them before Thee, that Thy word that they hear will be fruitful and effective in their hearts. Oh, Heavenly Father, bless those who have been coming for years and yet have not been touched, that let today be a day of their salvation. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we know it is only You who can do this. Bless our efforts, bless our preachings, bless our tract distribution in the community, bless our personal witnesses, that in all of them, Father, Your lost souls may be found. Our Heavenly Father, we commit every church who is meeting today, wherever they may be, that Thou will be in their presence, and let Thy word go out powerfully. Father, we commit the rest of the programs into Your hands. During the week, we have our prayer meeting on Tuesday, we have our Bible studies on Wednesday, our weeknight meeting on Saturday, our visitation on the same Saturday, and next week's activities, the gospel service, Sunday school session, the evening teaching service. Father, we bring all of them before Thee, that Thou will bless them, that in all of them, Father, Thy name will be glorified. Our Heavenly Father, we commit the youth of this church into Your hands. Oh, Father, You know the deceptions that are going on in the world now, especially those in higher institutions. Father, it is our prayer that Thou will bless and guide and protect them from all these lies, from the charlatans, people who are deceiving them, people who are using Thy word to enrich themselves. Oh, Heavenly Father, expose such people and deliver Thy people from them. Oh, Heavenly Father, what else can we say? For in everything we do, our hope and our trust is in Your hands. Bless families of this church, bless the elderly, bless the very young ones. Help us to live as godly people, and in everything we do, to the glory of Thy name. Father, very soon we are coming to open Thy way. Oh, it is our prayer that Thou will prepare our hearts, take distractions away, and send Your unction from above. Father, come and take control and use Your servant to proclaim Thy word, that Thy word which You go out will not come back in vain. Oh, Heavenly Father, bless all these things and answer our prayers in accordance with Thy will. For we have come praying in the name and on the merit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
Our third hymn is hymn number 348. Hymn number 348. Thy presence, gracious God, afford. Prepare us to receive Thy word. Now let Thy voice engage our ear, and faith be mixed with what we hear. Hymn number 348. turning to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And to verse 51. Mark chapter 10, verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And this is what is going to be our thinking for this morning. What Christ asked this blind man and his response. Now, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ often asked questions, especially those that he healed. Most of them, he asked them questions before he healed them. This blind man, when he was asked the question, we all know that he was a blind man and a beggar. He was blind and poor. He didn't have money. He had to beg for a living. But yet when Christ asked him what he wanted, even though he was there begging for alms, he didn't ask Christ to give him money. What did he say? Lord, that I might receive my sight. That was his greatest desire. And my title for this morning's message is, What is your greatest desire? What is your greatest desire? If Christ were to ask you today, what do you want me to do for you? What will you tell Christ? Are you going to tell Christ to give you money? Are you going to tell him to give you fame? Are you going to tell him to give you houses and cars? Or you tell him, whatever you tell him, everyone knows. Now we hear in radio and television from our modern day preachers, the first thing they ask for is, are you seeking for a wife? Are you seeking for a job? Are you seeking for this? Are you seeking for that? And that is their purpose of preaching. It means people now go to church for what they want. And it's very, very, very sad, because the Bible has said plainly that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things that you need in this world will be given to you. Now it's the other way around. Seek first the things that you can grasp in this world before you think of God. So we are going to see how the lesson that we can learn from this blind Bartimaeus. As I said earlier on, Christ is always asking questions about people that he heals. There are so many examples in the Bible that Christ has been asking these questions. Even when he knows what they are there for, he was still asking them. We can turn to John chapter 5, verse 6. John chapter 5, verse 6. And let's begin from the first so we can understand it. And a certain man was there, or even from verse 4. This is where there was this pool that angels come to set it up, and the sick ran into it and they get healed. So this man was there. And he said, For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Would thou be made whole? Christ asked him whether he wanted to be made whole, even though he said Christ knew that he had been there a long time in that condition. Yet Christ asked him that he want to be made whole. We have so many examples. You can turn to, not now, but you can put it down. Matthew chapter 9, verse 28. He asked a similar question. Matthew 16, verse 15. John 21, verse 15. Luke 17, 17. And then John 6:67. In all of them, we saw Christ asking questions before whatever he has to do. And blindness has been a figure of ignorance and darkness in which the unregenerate man lives. Anyone who has not been regenerated, who has not been saved, who has not had his sins forgiven him, is considered blind. And it is only Christ who can dispel this by the word of light. Because he said in John chapter 8 verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So if you have not been forgiven your sins, you have not come to Christ for your sins to be forgiven you, you are blind. The Bible refers to you as blind. And there are so many examples in the Bible which I won't read, but I'll give them to you and then you can go through them yourself. In Isaiah 42 verse 7, said the Messiah is to be a light of the Gentiles to open their eyes. The same Isaiah 42 verse 18 said, look ye blind that ye may see. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 tells us that the God of this world, which is Satan, has blinded the minds of them that believe not. In Ephesians 4 verse 18, he talks of the blindness of the heart. In Revelation 3 verse 17, when he was speaking about the church of Laodicea, he said they don't know that they were blind. Romans 11 verse 25 says blindness has fallen upon Israel. And then Luke 6:39, he likens false teachers, those who are preaching falsely, as the blind leading the blind. They are leading people unto hell. And the last one is in Matthew 23 verse 26, which the Lord addresses the Pharisees as blind Pharisees. Now let's come to the story itself and the background to this story. We heard that Jesus Christ and his disciples, they were on their way to Jerusalem. They were going for the most important festival of their time, the Passover. It was nearing the Passover, so Christ was going there with his disciples. And on their way, they passed through Jericho. And that is where they saw a lot of blind people who sat there and they were begging by the roadside. So among these blind people was the Bartimaeus man we are going to talk about him today. And we learn from verse 47 that when he heard that it was Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he began to cry and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. From verse 46, it says, as he went out of Jericho, because they were going through Jericho to Jerusalem. They just passed through. So as they were going out, then they saw the Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat at the highway side begging. Verse 47, it says, when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out. Same verse 47, let's note how he cried. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And then from verse 48, we learn that he was beginning to keep quiet. Those around there, the beggars and other people who were around, they shouted on him to be quiet. He said, many charged him that he should hold his peace. That is in verse 48. But what did he do? He refused to be silent. He cried the more. As they were forbidding him to go, he was crying the more. He said, but he cried the more a great deal. And then after the cry, he said, Christ stopped and bid him to come. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Verse 49 again, is the same people who were stopping him from going now, they told him, they said, the blind man saying, be of good courage, rise, he called thee. Now they were telling him that Christ was calling him. And what did he do? Verse 50, he cast his garment. Probably even that was the garment he was spreading down to collect the money from, but he just cast it away and then he ran to go and meet Jesus. In verse 51, we are told, then Christ asked him, what would thou that I should do unto thee? And the 51, he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. What did Christ tell him? Told him, he said, thy faith have made you whole. And as soon as Christ said that, he received his sight immediately. And immediately he received his sight. And then verse 52 said he followed Jesus. He followed Jesus in the way. As soon as he was healed, he followed Jesus. Now, the first point I want us to pay attention to is the misery of this man, a blind man. I think if we think of the miseries in this world, blindness will be on the top list. Somebody who is blind, who cannot see anything. This man had been blind from birth. So he had never seen his mother's face, his father's face. If he has siblings, he had never seen any of them. Even if the mother was smiling to him, he wouldn't see it. Whatever affection people show to him, this man would never see. And it is a very sad situation. And that is the state we are in. As soon as we are born into this world, we are blind. We never see the good things of God. We can't see it because we are blind. Until our eyes are open, then we can see what God has in store, what Christ has come to do for us. Now, there are people who have lost their legs, some have lost their hands, and so on. But some are able to work. But blindness, somebody is blind, it's difficult. The person obviously will not be able to do so many things. And in Jesus' days, it was worse. There was nothing that they could do than to sit by the roadside and beg. Now, this Bartimaeus, we don't even know how long he had been blind, but we are told that it took only a moment for him to decide to call on Jesus for help. And now, let's note another point. Christ had met many, many people in this world, people who had visions like us here, so many people. And I'm sure there are people like that in our churches today who have heard a lot about Christ and yet have not come to know Christ. They don't know who Jesus is. They know of the name, but they don't know exactly who Jesus is. Even there are some leaders in churches who have heard so many things about the gospel, and yes, they are blind to who Jesus is. That's why he could say that in those days, some will say that we heal in your name, we prophesy in your name, and he said, I will tell them I don't know them. Because they don't know Christ as he's supposed to be known. But this man, he responded to what he heard through faith. Remember, this man had never seen Christ perform miracles before. Because he can't see. All the wonderful things that Christ had done, this man had never seen it. He only hears that this man has done this. Jesus Christ has done that. And he had heard, obviously, because he was living close to Jerusalem. Jericho is about 18 miles from Jerusalem. So obviously he has heard about Christ, about David, about all what God has done. He has heard all these things, but he had never seen the miracles of Christ. And like I said, there are many, many people in our churches today who have heard the gospel so many times, and yet they have not come to know Jesus. For instance, they have heard that one, Jesus died for the sins of mankind. People have heard this. It's being preached, even gospel musicians, they are all talking about this. People died to save us, to save sins of mankind. They have also heard that Christ rose again. Don't we celebrate Easter? What is it for? It's for the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every year we celebrate. But how do people take it? How serious do they take it? Have they really come to know the Christ we are talking about? Have they understood what it means to come to be with Jesus Christ? The same thing, there are people in our church today who will come and hear all these things and they will go out miserably because they are not responding to the gospel message with faith, as this man did. Now, we are told that he was a blind man sitting by the roadside begging. And like I said, he was a blind man and a poor man. There are some blind men who are born to rich people. Such people, even though they can't see, the other side is okay. There are people to take care of them. I remember the time I was in England, we used to have a blind home secretary. When I say home secretary, in Ghana, is it like the Minister of Interior? Yes. And it's a very powerful ministry. And the man was blind, David Blanket. I don't know if you have heard about his name. He was a blind and a very powerful in the government of the day. And he was blind. He used to go to office with a dog following him everywhere. And yet the man was very powerful. To head the Home Secretary ministry in England is not a a small position, but this blind man had that position. So there are people who are born into rich homes, and like I said, this blind man was a poor man. And when you are poor and blind, you are also marginalized, isn't it? You are sidelined. Any decision taken in this world, you are no part. You can't work in any responsible position. So this man was also handicapped in that way because he was blind. His parents were poor. They couldn't send him to school as the blanket had. So he was seriously handicapped. And yet, he heard about Jesus Christ and believed in faith. And my prayer for all of you here this morning is that you will be like us. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8, he said, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You see, so you don't have to be here with the misery of being lost without hope. But you can live here saved by the grace of God. And this is my prayer, that everyone listening to me this morning in this room will go from here and be saved and come out of this misery of blindness, if you have not come to know about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the great question I'm asking you today is that in what world are you living? Are you living in the world of the blind, under the sway of Satan, the god of this world, unable to see God's glory or anything around you? You can't see God's loveliness. You can't see the face of his only son, Jesus Christ, and what he has come to do for you. Or are you living with a hope in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Is he your only hope? Is he the only one that you can trust? Or you are holding on to something else, some certain things or certain lifestyles in the world, and then part to Jesus Christ? Then you are blind. You need to have your eyes open so that you can see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the second thing I want us to take notice about the knowledge of this man. Like I said, this man, he was marginalized. He wasn't playing any serious part in the affairs of the people of Jericho. Yet, he heard about Jesus Christ. And then, I'm sure he was asking, who is he? Where has he come from? What did his father do? What is the message that he's sending about? What about his miracles that he was hearing about so many miracles? I'm sure in that area, everyone had a relative, either a cousin or a sister, or who had been transformed by Jesus Christ one way or the other, either had been healed of a sickness or had been saved from the power of sin. And this man had heard all these things. So when he heard that Christ was passing, he ran away to meet him. He did not, even when the people were trying to stop him, no, he kept on going. Now, are you doing the same thing? Are you trying to give out everything, even when people are discouraging you, to move forward and to come to know Jesus Christ? Or you are joining the world? You are joining what other people are saying? There will be so many discouragements for anybody who wants to come to Jesus Christ. There are always discouragements, either from your own siblings, from your own family, from your friends, from the snares of this world. So many things that the devil has set to discourage you, to pull you away. And that is what we see, this blind Bartimaeus, that the people who were with him, they were stopping him from going to our Lord and Savior Jesus. But why will you do that? If your child has some serious disease, those of you who have children, I'm sure you know how it is when your child is sick. And you hear, maybe you have been taking him around so many places and he's not healing. And then you hear that somebody's child has a similar problem and somebody has healed him. What will you do? Will you just sit down and be watching television, or will you just take it easy? I'm sure you run to that person to look for him to heal your child for you. And that is what it is. This man had heard what Christ had done in the lives of so many people. So when he heard about Christ coming, he ran. He left his cloak. We said even the cloak that he was wearing, he left it to go and follow Jesus. Are you like that? Are you ignoring everything to go to Christ? Or you hear about him and it doesn't move you? It's nothing to you. You just go back to the world and behave the same way you are behaving. You ignore all the preachings, the people who are preaching to you, all the sermons that Christ preached on the mount. Or you just come to church and see people talking and singing and praying, and that's it. And you go back. Brethren, if you are like that, you are blind. And when that day comes, you go with where the people who are blind go, which is hell. So this is the time that you pray and come to Jesus, that he will forgive you and cleanse you from your sins, and that he will heal you from the blindness. Look at what he said in verse 47. He said, "Have mercy on me." See how he magnifies God. He saw himself as a guilty man. He saw that he was guilty, not as a victim to be pitied. You see, that's how this man saw himself, and that's how he ran to Jesus Christ. He took responsibility for his own sin. He didn't say, "Because I'm blind," but he knew that he himself needed to be forgiven his own sin. He forget about his pride, his lust, his everything, and then he went to Christ. So if you are like him, go to God now and confess your guilt to him. And he has promised that he will pardon you and forgive you. Bartimaeus knew that, and he went to Christ. He knew that the Lord would not treat him as he deserved. We don't deserve anything from the Lord. But then, because of his mercy, we can always go to him. And this is what this man sought. He sought for mercy. He cried out, that, "Have mercy on me." Have you asked God to show you mercy? Have you ever done that? That God should show you mercy? If you have never seen your sin, then you are still living in the valley of the blind. Bartimaeus knew it and cried to the Lord for deliverance, and he was delivered. And there's something very particular about what this Bartimaeus man said. Just these four words: "Have mercy on me." If you have time, turn to, not now, the book of, in Psalm 4. A similar thing is said there. In Psalm 6, it is there. In Psalm 41. In Psalm 51, David's prayer, it is there. And then in Psalm 109, and in Psalm 123. And in all, every instance, the people address to Jehovah God. And Bartimaeus take that same cry of a sinner for mercy and direct it to the Lord Jesus Christ. "Have mercy on me." And please, have you done that? Have you asked God to forgive you? Have you noticed that Jesus Christ has the fullness of the Godhead? He is God. That is why he could forgive sins. That is what he was accused for, that he could forgive sins. If he wasn't God, he could never have forgiven sins. He has the power to forgive sins. Have you ever come to him for his mercy, that he will forgive you? If you haven't, let today be the day that you come to him for forgiveness of your sins, and then for your eyes to be open. Another thing that we learn from this account in verse 48 is his persistence. Like I said, he did not let the cry of the people disturb him. The discouragement to disturb him. He kept on going, regardless of whatever they were doing. They were calling him to shut up. And in John Bunyan's book, he said, "Alongside the wicked gate, Diabolos had built a castle, and from the towers of the castle, he used to shoot arrows at all those who tried to pass through the gate." And he said he also had great dogs, fierce ones, and they will always be howling and threatening anyone who tried to pass through the gate. And that is what is happening here. People are always trying to discourage us. Circumstances, this world, and this allurement, especially the youth, you are being tempted to seek for great things instead of seeking for the most important thing, your greatest desire, which is to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and be assured that in this world he will be with you, and with the promise that you will be with him in heaven to enjoy his glory. Which is more important, to gain the whole world and to lose your soul, or to forget about this world and follow Jesus Christ, knowing that he has said that you seek him first and all other things shall be added unto you. But Timaeus never stopped. He was following Christ. Another important lesson that I want us to learn is in verse 49. We are told that when this man persisted, what did Christ do? He said, Jesus stood still. And this stood still means he stopped. He stopped. You see, the cry of this poor, reckless man was enough to cause the creator of heaven and earth to stop. It is amazing, isn't it? This poor man that nobody regarded, he wasn't part of the decision making of the people in the area, he couldn't see anything, he was blind, he was poor, and yet his cry was able to stop our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is a lesson for us. Jesus had time for him. And I'm sure there are so many people who have heard Christ, or like I said, the gospel so many times, and they have not cried for God to help you. If you are here and you have been coming for years or even months and you have not been saved, you are not crying for mercy, because the word of God cannot lie. You have never cried for mercy. If you have cried for mercy, he will forgive you. Christ never said he was too busy, even though he was going for this important festival, the Passover. Yet this man cried and he stopped to look at him. Some people are too busy to cry for mercy. Some people are looking for other things. But this man, he cried unto God, unto Christ, and said, Christ, heal me, I want to see. Now, that same Christ is passing by. Why are you here? Maybe you have heard that there's a church here called Grace Reformed Baptist Church in Hacho, where every morning, 10 o'clock, Christ comes here to ask people what they want him to do for you. If you are here, he's here today and he's asking you, what do you want him to do for you? Do you want him to have mercy on you and open your eyes to grant you salvation? Or you want him to bless you, that you have riches and positions in this world? He's calling you today. Whether there are distractions, whether there are discouragements, whatever it is, he's calling you. And stop whatever you are doing and go to him and cry to him, and he will hear you. Verse 50, look at the reply from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When the man jumped to go to Christ, Jesus Christ, what do you want me to do for you? He asked him, like I said, Christ always asks questions about people that he healed. What do you want me to do for you? And this is the very heart of the matter, all what we are talking about. What did this man want from God? What did he call to Jesus Christ for? Did he want a handout, like I said? Obviously, he was there purposely to ask for money. Did he ask for money? No. He didn't ask for anything. He asked that his sight would be restored, that Christ would heal him. What do you want the Son of God to do for you today? Do you want him to give you a big house, a new car, some qualifications, good health and long life? Is that all you want Christ to give you? Friends, if that is what you want, then you are the most miserable person, because it is very, very sad that those things will never take you anywhere. Yesterday, I was at a wedding. My niece was getting married and I was there. And my cousin's husband, a man I knew, even if I mention the name, most of you will know him, a very powerful man indeed, when he was a director. That's when I was in London. This man came to London and you see money at that time, pounds sterling, dollars, everything in his briefcase. And when I entered the house, I haven't been there for a very long time, and I saw the man sitting down. This man, who was very, very powerful, just look at me like this. He can't even talk. He just watch him. He knows me. He can't talk. He has had stroke for how many years now? Now, the man is just like a baby. But this was a very powerful man with higher qualifications. If I mention the name, I'm sure most of you will know him. So you see the world. There's nothing in this world. If you spend all your time looking for, I'm sure now, the man can't, you can't even understand the scriptures. I was talking to him, he was just looking at my face, just looking at me. He doesn't know who I am. And this is a man that's from a few years ago. It's not very long ago. This man was a very powerful man in this country. So, especially the young people, if you are seeking for worldly things, please think twice. This man never asked for any of such things. He asked God to open his eyes that he can see, to save him from that state. And that is the state you are if you have not have your sins forgiven you. And you must come to him now and pray that he will save you and open your... Christ is the only one that can do this for you, because he said he is the light. And without him, no one can come to the Father. What did he say? Rabbi, I want to see. Just one thing he wanted, that he will receive his sight. So what do you want from God today? Why are you here? Why are you here? I'm sure you are here saying that I have a soul and my soul is sick. And I've heard that there's a great physician who comes here every Sunday morning to heal people. I'm sure this should be your thinking. So I've come here that that man will heal me. Is that what you are saying in your mind today? Is that what is in your mind for coming here? Is that what you have come here, exactly what you have come here for? If not, then there's no wonder that you've come here, you've heard this for years, and yet you are still what you are. You have not really seen who you are and your need. What did Christ say when the man came to him in verse 52? He said, go, your faith has healed you. And we are learning that immediately he received his sight and then followed Jesus along the way. Our Lord Jesus didn't say that if you promise to follow me, if you want to follow me, then put money in your bag or whatever. He just said, go, your faith has healed you. What do we see today in other churches? Yesterday I was the same wedding, and the pastor, like the chief pastor, whoever he is, and from the way they were describing, he's a very powerful man. After everything, I heard the man saying that after raising so many funds for the church and the couple, then the man said, God had just spoken to me just now that anyone who has a problem should take a coin from his bag or his pocket and pray over it and bring it to me here now. And whatever that person wants, he even gave some days that the person can have it. That's what is happening in our churches now. He said people should take their coins. God had told him in that hour that is what he wants the people to do. Please, Christ is not after anybody's money. He wants you to be healed. You come here and the purpose is for him to heal you. Christ is the owner of the universe. Everything is for him. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your anything. He needs your heart. Come and seek for him, for his mercy, and he will pardon you. I'm sure you may be wondering, as I say, why people have been coming here for years and yet they have not come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the reason is that they've not come to know the ugliness of their sin. They've not come to know that they are blind and they can't see anything. What they think they are seeing is nothing. They are not seeing the glories of God. They are only seeing worldly things. So they think they are happy. And like I said, this man, within some few years now, look at him. All his certificates and his money, everything is there and nobody can use it. And now very soon he will die and go and face God. Is he going to face God with the qualifications? Is he going to face God with the money? No. He's going to face God, and God will ask him, why should I allow you into my kingdom? Why should I allow you into my kingdom? Did you give your life to Jesus Christ? Were you saved? Were you washed from your sins? These are the questions God is going to ask. Not your money or your wealth or your position in this world. This is the truth of the Bible. This is what the whole Bible is about. The gospel of God's redeeming grace is that anyone who has not been saved is blind. And we know, we have mentioned what blindness go through, those who are blind. you want to go through that way, or you want your eyes to be opened, that you can see the good things of God. I'm praying to God and heaven that all of you will take what I'm telling you serious, and you understand this, and then you consider your end. What are you going to tell God when that day comes? Please, if you haven't done that, today, turn and come. Do you want to go to hell? Why do you want to perish when all these things are there for you? God has made a way for you. He has sent His Holy Son to come and die to save you from your sins. Why will you lay all these things aside and end up in hell? Come to Him and He will save you. He is passing by now. Christ is passing by and He's saying, come, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cry to Him now, wherever you are. You know, in our churches, we don't say raise up your hand if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. You should pray wherever you are and commit your life to Him and ask Him to pardon you and forgive you of your sins. And He has promised that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's pray. Oh God, our gracious and merciful Father, we thank You for Thy word this morning. Father, we thank You especially for the life of the blind Bartimaeus and for all the lessons we have learned from it. Oh Heavenly Father, bless these things in our hearts. Help us to understand them. Move our hearts to come and cry unto Thee for mercy, for pardon, and for forgiveness of our sins. Oh Heavenly Father, do this for Thy own glory's sake. For we have come praying in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
Now to our last hymn. Let's turn to hymn number 260. Hymn number 260. Give me a sight, O Savior, of Thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought Thee down to earth to die on Calvary. Hymn number 260.
Oh,
the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.